Lift up your two hands to heaven this morning. And one more time, give God thanks in anticipation for what he has in store for you. Jesus gave thanks and Lazarus came up. Give God thanks in anticipation for what he has in store for you. He sent his word and it healed them. And the word delivered them out of all their destruction. Lift up those two hands to heaven and give him thanks in anticipation. Jesus gave thanks and the two loaves and five fishes multiplied supernaturally to feed 5,000 men, minus women and children. Give him thanks for what he has in store for you today. He has not asked the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. Give him thanks for what he has in store for you today. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. God is in our midst. But wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there you can trust his presence. Today, may his presence make all the difference in everyone's life. The Lord sent a word into Jacob and turned him to a nation. May each one today have an encounter with a word from the Lord. And may that word bring about supernatural transformation in your life. When the word of Joseph came, everything turned in his favor. May each one's word come alive today. May it result in the turning of everything in your favor. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise and please you may be seated. It's a joy to be here today, my wife and I. Our daughter that came with us from Nigeria and the one who is here. We're glad to be here to be a part of the glorious destiny of each of us. And I pray that everything packaged for us in redemption shall begin to find full-scale expression in our lives. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, the people he has predestinated, he has called. And the people he has called, he has justified. And the people he has justified, he has glorified. So we are redeemed to be justified, and we are justified to be glorified. The simple thing is this: every child of God has a glorious destiny in Christ. So whatever represents shame and reproach in anyone's life comes to an end today. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and virtue. So we are not called to shame and reproach. We are called to glory and virtue. So we have a glorious destiny. And I pray that whatever represents shame and reproach in your health, in your family, in your career, in your business, will be turned to a testimony today. Remember, all of our inheritance in Christ is deliverable by revelation. He's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness, and they are delivered through the knowledge of him. So we need a working knowledge of scriptures to assess our inheritance in Christ. And I pray that tonight, this morning, the Lord is going to shed his light in your heart.
Amen.
That will show you how to take delivery of your own inheritance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's so much talk about the devil. The devil is not as powerful as you have been made to believe, or you have made yourself to believe. The devil is darkness, and revelation is light. And the dominion of light over darkness is instant and unquestionable. When light steps in, darkness steps out. You don't have any problem with the devil. You have a problem with absence of light. When light dawns, darkness bows out. It's automatic. It doesn't matter which part of the world you live. The moment light steps in, darkness steps out. The moment light steps in, darkness steps out. And the entrance of his word, it gives light and gives understanding to the simple. So the revelation of the word is the cheapest way to deal with every devil. The revelation of the word is the cheapest way to deal with every devil. Don't need no struggle. Just have the revelation of the truth, and you triumph without sweat. You triumph without sweat. Many years ago, 1983, December 25 to be precise, one of my relations was accosted by the spirit of insanity. And so they called me up and said, look, your son has a problem. So what about? They said, he's gone off. And I said, okay, relax. When we're done with the meeting, the family meeting, I'll get to see him. Meanwhile, I was swimming in the revelation of John chapter 1. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So I went with confidence that when I step in there, darkness must step out. So I went into the room, and this insane chap rose up from his insanity and prostrated to greet me as our custom is. And he said, do you know him? I said, yes, that's my brother. You know his name? I was the only one he knew. He didn't know the mother. He didn't know nobody. But as I entered the place, insanity came off. My wife and I were there. We put him in my car. And I said, let me see the devil that can enter my car with me. So we drove back home about an hour trip. He was dead asleep. Insanity left as I entered. I had not prayed one prayer on him. That is the supremacy of light. In fact, Jesus said, they said, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. So he said, I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. So faith can bring the dead back to life. That's how forcible faith is. Praise God. Now, we saw a man that was born a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. In Acts chapter 14, and verse 8 to 10. And Paul looked at him and perceived that he had faith to be healed, and shouted, stand up upon thy feet. And he walked for the first time. Faith is the facilitator of our healing. Without faith at work, your healing is inaccessible. Faith does not only heal, it makes whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Stand up upon thy feet. That was it. No sickness will require more than faith to clear off. I mean, even death. Something happened in Nigeria recently. Last year, sorry. One of our students at Covenant University got a message from home that her junior sister was dead and was already in the morgue. ran to the chaplain of the university, pam, pam, pam. Well, the father now had a dream in the night and saw me saying, go get your child from the morgue and bring her home. She went and carried a cold chili child from the morgue and carried her home on Thursday. By 2 a.m. Friday night to Saturday, the child cried and bounced back to life. Real life testimony. Now, hear the completion of it. Her kidney failure was what resulted in her death. She got brand new kidneys back. Got to the hospital, check out kidney functioning perfectly. What brought that about? Faith. The faith of the father brought back the child. Faith. Another woman had a hit and run vehicle that knocked down her child. And said, no, Papa has said, we are not burning nobody this year. Went to 3 hospitals, rejected, because he was dead. They don't admit the dead in hospitals here. Only Jesus admit the dead in his clinic. Praise God. Amen. And slept with her baby, her son, on the same bed. 5 a.m. in the morning. That accident took place around between 7 and 8 p.m. 5 a.m. in the morning, the child bounced back to life. Glory to God. I mean, faith would change your total health status. Faith will, because what faith does is to tap into divine virtue to enhance your values. Whatever may be wrong with your system, when your faith in the word of God comes alive, they say, by now he's thinking. Jesus says, shut up. Show me where you lay her. Lay him. It's not stinking. It's shining. You got it wrong. And brought Lazarus out live. Whatever may be dead or dying in anyone seated here today or anyone assessing this message from any part of the world, I decree divine touch for your turnaround. Faith is it. You can't be healed without faith. Jesus got to Nazareth and he could there do no mighty works save that he lay hands upon a few sick folks. I mean, the mighty God with the mighty anointing on him could not do mighty works, and he marveled at their unbelief. His uncles that were crippled remained crippled. The ones that were blind remained blind. He couldn't reach them, and he marveled at their unbelief. No matter how close you may be to church, it takes faith to be healed. Those relations of Christ were unhealed. They were there with their situations unchanged because there was no faith to connect with the virtue that heals and makes whole. This is so important. It's not about activity, it's about faith. You cannot be healed without faith. It takes faith to be healed and to be made whole. That is the covenant. Amen. And faith is a subject of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You must believe in your heart and be able to say it clearly with your mouth. The mockers around you notwithstanding. You can't get it without believing in the heart and saying it with your mouth. This is so important. And you must think right. Because it's a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So faith demands a lot of spiritual discipline for delivery. What you don't despise, you cannot dominate. If you don't despise sickness, you can't dominate it. You have to despise it to dominate it.
What you exalt will dominate you.
You know, I have a lot of pains. It's been unbearable. I've not slept for 10 days. It's a lie. If you have not slept for 10 days, you won't need to tell anybody. They will see it.
You find yourself exaggerating like those 10 spies that the land eats up the people. Okay, how did you return? If the land was eating up the people, how did you come back? Why did the land not eat you up? And we're collecting the fruits of the land. You said it eats people. It should eat you first. It's all exaggeration. Anything you exaggerate stays on top of you. It stays on top of you. The way believers exaggerate sickness is why they are not free from it.
Any word from any doctor takes hold of his entire being more than the word of God. So how will he be free? Many years ago, I got tested and the doctor said, "Oh, your blood pressure is high." I said, "Not mine." He said, "Check it." I said, "Not necessary." I'm not saying I don't. I said, "I cannot. You can't test me positive for pregnancy and I'm bothered." Then I've lost my mind. Now, I've never taken one pill in my life on high blood pressure, and I don't know the name of any. And that's more than 35 years now. It went back to where it came from, straight on. Now, listen to me. It's all about faith. Bible faith. Bible-based, Bible-prone faith. Faith that is built on your revelation of what Christ has purchased for you. And you're free. Years ago, I saw that himself took my infirmity and bore my sicknesses. And I declared, I can never be sick. And I've been bouncing about like this. 35 years, no vacation. But fresher than fresh. Amen. Faith is all about faith. All about faith. Engaging the power of biblical covenant. Let's look at this other very important aspect, the subject of prosperity. Years ago, I went asking the Lord, "Show me the secret of kingdom prosperity." And from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you his covenant." It's not a church doctrine. It's his covenant that is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. That is being abused does not make it untrue. You can only counterfeit what is genuine. There can't be counterfeit currency without a genuine currency. No. Now, hear this. God said to me from those scriptures, "My son David, my prosperity plan is not a promise, so it does not answer to prayers. My prosperity plan is not a promise, it has no respect for fasting. My prosperity plan is a covenant, and until your part is played, I am not committed." Period. March 22nd, 1982. What? What then is your covenant? "Why the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease." Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. What is seed time and harvest? Giving and receiving. Remember in chapters 9 of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "He that sows sparingly shall also live sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully." So every man as he purposes in his heart, even so let him give. So giving is sowing. Hello? So seed time and harvest is sowing time and receiving time. Now, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, he said, "Ye Philippians know that No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So sowing and reaping is giving and receiving. Therefore, my God shall supply all your needs. Verse 19. That's not where it begins. It begins with giving and receiving covenant. Engaging in the giving and receiving covenant. If you are not there, you are not a candidate for prosperity. Giving and receiving is the covenant that launches believers into realms of prosperity. No matter how smart you may be, there are many preachers who are beggars because they are not givers. Because they are not givers. It doesn't matter your calling. If you are not a giver, you are not permitted to prosper. The scriptures cannot be broken. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men put into their bosom. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. So it's the covenant. You can't get out of it. It is his covenant for prospering his people. Now look at it. See how God reacted to the non-tithing people. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. But you've gone far away from me, from the days of your fathers. That's why you live under a curse instead of a blessing. Why? You have robbed me. Robbed you what? In tithes and in offerings. How? Bring your tithes to the storehouse that it may be meet in my house. And prove me now, if I've not opened the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive them. You remember that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 all the way to 11. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. Why did he say we rob him? All the tithes of the land is the Lord's. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. All the tithes of the land. You can't tell me I rob you when it's not your own. He said it's my own. All the tithes of the land belongs to God. If any man takes anything from it, it will be chargeable. That's what it says. Verse 31. It will be chargeable. Praise God. So, if you are not a giver, you are not permitted to prosper. If you are not a tither, you may not experience financial fortune. Outpouring of blessings which you don't have enough room to receive. Now, can I tell you this? I got that 1982. I have never solicited any mortal man's financial help all these years. 34 solid years, I'm not owing nobody in the world. I'm not talking about ministry, I'm talking about me. Yes, ministry is absolutely debt-free. Absolutely debt-free. Absolutely debt-free. We've never called any caucus meeting in our ministry for any project, including the about to take off 100,000 stadium size sanctuary. Amen. Amen. Never. We've never received any foreign seed for anything we're doing. We're receiving seed from above. Amazing, clean, and sweatless. Now, I'm telling you, what it takes. I knew the day God launched our ministry under an open heaven. I was in the hotel one day, September 4, 1987. And the Lord said to me from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 8. I was in that study. And they said to me, the same way I opened the heavens over the lives of individuals, so I opened heavens over institutions, companies, organizations, including churches. I never read it from any book in my life. I'm privileged to be a good reader. I've read a few things. I've been building my own Christian library since I was 20. So I've read quite a few things. But I've never had it. And I clearly saw how God said to me that the tithe that Abraham gave to Melchizedek was not his personal tithe, but the tithe of his company. 318 people went to war. And they brought back the spoil, and Abraham paid the tithe of all. Amen. My eyes opened wide. So we became a tithing ministry. And from that time, we just galloping in grace, swimming in fortune. God built that 350,000-seat sanctuary in 1 year, and debt-free, and begging-free, and borrowing-free. The covenant, every biblical covenant is binding on God to deliver when your part of the deal is played. There is no begging God on it. My covenant will I not break, no matter how hard you beg me. There is no weeping that can break it. You can't weep your way into prosperity. You can only give your way into it. You can't wish your way into financial fortune. You can only tithe your way into it. Engaging the power of biblical covenant. It works on all fronts and on all counts. For instance, success is impossible except you are diligent. Only true hard workers ever become high flyers. Not lay-by people sleeping all day long. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, man. Jesus said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. That's the first one is Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Do you know a man that's diligent in his business? He's on his way to the top. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, man. Jesus said in John 5, 17, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. You mean Jesus needed to walk for things to work? Nothing ever works without somebody at work. If you want your destiny to produce, you want it to shine forth, then get down to work. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. You are on your way to the top. In John chapter 9 verse 4, Jesus said, I must work. Praise God. For anyone to succeed in the race of life, he must work. For anyone to secure his glorious destiny, he must work. John 9, 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can walk. There are quite a number of families under turmoil today, and the simple thing is breaking biblical covenant concerning marriage. Posing to be smarter than God. Even educating God, God, you need to know the age in which we live. Now, I said something in New York 2 nights ago that truth is never obsolete. Truth is transgenerational. There is no new generation truth. Amen. Something true today may be proved wrong tomorrow, but truth is constant. Once upon a time, the earth was said to be flat by some scientists. Then later on, they said, no, it's not flat, it's spherical. It was true then, it's no longer true now. But truth is constant. Truth cannot grow. We can only grow in our knowledge of the truth. Truth cannot be developed. We can only develop our understanding of the truth. If the word of God is truth, then the word of God is constant. The word of God is timeless. The word of God is ageless. The word of God will always walk the same way in every generation. I want these precious Americans to hear me. The terms of marriage covenant is constant. is timeless, is ageless. Once you subscribe to it, you have subscribed to crisis without knowing. The Lord showed me 7 keys to hit free married life. And when my counselor asked me, David, what do you say about your marriage? I said, hit free marriage. He said, how do you mean? So everything God told me, just 7 points, walking by it, has given us hit free marriage for this number of years. Now we are 34 years young in marriage. Amen. Husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. No documentation of the errors of your wife. Jesus forgave you and forgot all that you ever did. Write it off. Even as Christ loved the church. And what I call the law of advanced forgiveness. I've forgiven you what we do tomorrow. So when you do it, it won't be any problem. Praise God. Now you say, it's very simple. And then turn to the woman, which they won't like to hear. Submit yourself to your own husband in everything. Hey! No, not now. That was then. That's why we have crisis. We've never had one single crisis in our marriage. And God has helped us to raise very, very enviable sons and daughters to the glory of His name. Amen. Therefore, to every rising storm in every home, I decree peace be still. Yeah. Just go check up which of the covenants you are breaking and tell yourself, I better get on key so I won't stay in crisis. Let me get back to what it is so I won't be in crisis. That's so important. Praise God. Praise God. Everything that works in the kingdom works by our consciousness of the covenant. Consciousness of the covenant. Just staying on key with your part of every biblical covenant. And then you walk in freedom. Praise God. You walk in liberty. That's the way it works. My prayer today is that no one here returns from here the same way. Yeah. No one returns from here the same way. I don't know what the doctors may have told you, but God has the final say. Yeah. Whatever God says overrides what any doctor may have told you. Yeah. Overrides what any doctor may have told you. That's the way it works. And my prayer again is that you will remember today for good in your life. Yeah. You will remember today for good in your life. Amen. For instance, some are on the line for miracle children. What must I do to take delivery of my miracle children? Very simple. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away. He said, and I will take sickness away from you. Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26. There shall not be barren, nor cast their young in the land. And the number of your days, I will fulfill. There are many believers, they are just being served by God. They are not engaging in any way in adding value to the kingdom. They sit down, comfortable, listen to whatever they like to listen to, and walk away. You don't go far with that. Thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless, and he shall take sickness away from you. You shall not be barren, nor remain a victim of miscarriage. The number of your days I will fulfill. Remember, except the Lord builds a house, the labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman and wake up in vain. It's in vain you go up early in the morning and wake up in the night, eating the bread of sorrow, he gives his beloved rest. No, children are an heritage of the Lord, verse 3. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Reward for what? Reward for serving him. Reward for serving him. One highly placed lady walked into church and had me teach on kingdom stewardship. and was believing God for fruit of the womb and signed up to serve in the sanctuary keeper's department. And it was during Shiloh was coming in, so they deployed her to the toilet area to serve. And then you have to serve 24 hours for that week. She did, and immediately after that, she became pregnant. The fruit of the womb is his reward. A young lady went out to witness Christ in his neighborhood after every Sunday service. So, a neighbor who happens to be a friend to her senior sister, who perhaps was demonic, called the senior sister to warn her sister from coming to disturb them with her gospel. So the senior sister now called her sister and said, "Look, listen, why are you going to disturb people in their homes with your gospel instead of going home after service? If your God is that so good, why is he not giving you children?" Can you imagine from your senior sister to you, taunting you for not having children? She said, "Jesus, you are the one she's talking about." The following Sunday, she went out to the same neighborhood. The same month, she became pregnant. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and will ensure you are not barren, nor remain a victim of miscarriage. Thou shalt serve, thou shalt serve, God shall bless, you shall not be barren. Thou shalt serve, God shall bless, you shall not be barren. He will take sickness away from you. Anything blocking you from being fruitful, he takes it away from you. Now, to show that it's not by chance, another fellow was having, they were having fellowship in our workplace during break time. And she was sharing with them from Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lion suffer want and hunger, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And one scorner among the staff, "Hello, madam, is having children a good thing?" She said, "Yes." "Why has God not given you one?" She remembered the first testimony and said to herself, "I know my time has come." Same month, she became pregnant. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Instead of begging, start serving. Instead of begging for prayers, round about, start serving. God is committed to make fruitful anyone serving him. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? This morning, I want you to be awake. There's a revival going on. And revival time is spiritual work time. It's spiritual. You are laboring on the altar of prayer, and you are laboring in your passion and quest to see souls saved. And what is the end result? The end result is your change of levels. Every revival is a platform for the advancement of the church and the advancement of God's people who are engaging with them. Although the fruit may not blossom, there may not be fruit in the vine, but as long as you keep rejoicing in your engagement in a revival or with a revival, it will make you feel like hind's feet and get you up to walk upon your high places. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, "Revive thy work, O God, in the midst of the year. Make known thy power." Praise God. And in verse 17, okay, in the course of it, he said, "All everlasting mountains," verse 4 to 6, "shall be scattered. All perpetual heat shall be leveled." Amen. The barriers on your path are cleared up as you are engaging with Jesus. Glory to God. And then he comes down to make your feet like hind's feet, and then you begin to walk upon your high places. Verse 17 to 19. It's revival time. Be spiritually awake. Your change of story is in it. God is changing people's stories dramatically. Yours is in it. And can I tell you this? Revival time is restoration time. Whatever you may have lost in your life, whatever they may have robbed you of, in every revival, there's a strong wave of revelation. I mean, restoration. You remember in Joel chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, "Fear not, O land. Rejoice and be glad, because the Lord will do great things." Verse 23, "I've given you the former rain moderately, but I'll cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the same month, and the floor shall be full of wheat. And I will restore to you." Revival time is a time of outpouring of the Spirit of God.
and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Amen. The canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you, and shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord, and my people shall never be ashamed. And he repeated that again, and my people shall never be ashamed. Revival time is a time of wiping off shame and reproach from God's people. What do? Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and get on the go for Jesus. And watch how he keeps changing your story from level to level. God hasn't changed. Everything is changing, but God remains constant. And when you connect with this constant God, everything begins to turn in your favor. That's what it is. We are in a big time revival. I was in Kinshasa some 2 weeks ago, and only about 9 days of preparation for that event, we had 71,000 people in the stadium. First night, 10,500 people gave their life to Christ. Second night, 12,000 plus gave their life to Christ. I mean, huge time. A woman had been struck blind for 10 years, has never seen the sun. As we were closing the service, she shouted and screamed, "Old woman, held me, almost fell me down." She was seeing light for the first time in 10 years. Jesus opened her eyes. Witches were being thrown off. Now, tell me something. There's a mighty revival coming to hit America. That's a mighty revival coming to hit America. The days of the 10th crusade is coming back to America. And I can tell you this, this wave will be coming largely from Africa. Unusual fiery men will come and ignite people here with fire, and they will carry on the fire, and Jesus' name will be glorified. Can I tell you this? This is our greatest time of opportunity. There's a strong wave of the Holy Ghost moving across the earth today. Every nation will be affected. Every nation will be impacted. Every ministry will catch fire. Yeah. Every altar will become an altar of fire. Yeah. We had some outstanding testimonies as we got involved in this wave. Somebody went out to witness Christ and was there for 2 hours and led 14 people to Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Go to bed. I want to operate on you." Meanwhile, he had a metal implant on his elbow, 2007. After a gunshot at a close range that shattered his elbow bones. As he laid in bed after that feat, Jesus came down and removed the metal implant and laid it by his side without any opening, without any blood, without any water. Amen. Our God is in the midst of his people. Something unusual is happening. This is live. I still have that metal implant in my office. The date imprinted on it in India, 2007. Removed clean without any opening. Master surgeon opened it and closed it and brought out that metal implant to the shame of the devil. Come on now. Something is breaking forth in our time. A lady had suffered a terrible heart disease from birth and have been on medication for 36 years. His life was hanging in the balance. She went out with the little strength she had witnessing Jesus. Came back and began to vomit blood. Put that blood in a little bag. Free forever. From 36 years of daily, night and day medication, the heart reformed and recreated by God. You know the reason why? A faithful ambassador is entitled to healthy living. Proverbs 13 verse 17. Let's get on the go for God. The things we are begging for will begin to be added to us. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And what happened? "And all these things shall be added unto you." That is my greatest discovery in my walk with God. It's 40 years ago I found that scripture. And true to his word, as I kept focusing on his kingdom
and its affairs, he has been adding everything to me beyond what I could imagine. One time I said to God, won't you even be patient for someone to pray before you answer? And God said, there's a company of people, before they call me, I will answer. While they are here speaking, I will perform. And I know they are the Matthew 6:33 company of people. The moment that becomes your lifestyle, life becomes a cheap adventure. Can I tell you this? I'd never prayed for a car in my life, but I can build a car factory now. Yeah, I've never prayed for one. I never prayed for an aircraft in my life. We've been flying now for 20 years. In fact, we are flying a brand new plane right now. You see, seek ye first. You've been running after the wrong thing. That's why you're having crisis. You've been running after. The greatest mistake anybody can make in his life is to make pursuit of money his goal. Can I tell you why? Riches have wings. Only a fool tries to catch a bird that is flying. No. I mean, riches have wings and they soar into the sky. And there's one man on the ground who wants to catch it. Even when you are under it, can you bring it down? But the blessings of the Lord, it make it rich. And it has no son. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. I want to come under that blessing right now, because it will change your story forever. It will change your story forever. It will change your story forever. Let me tell you this. Covenant practice has given our commission, our ministry, its place in destiny today. It's one of the richest church institutions on the planet Earth. Zero debt. No thinking of it. Everything working at heaven's pace. And anyone and everyone has access to the same realm. If you will engage with biblical covenant as a lifestyle. This is what God has provided. This is what I must do to get there. And you get in there. We've never had to make any high-tension announcement for anything in our ministry since inception. Not that, okay, now they are big. No, no, no. When we were small, when we were six, we didn't beg. When we were 10, we didn't beg. And you saw it on the screen. As at March 1984, we were 21 people on the average. Yet we didn't borrow. Because the blessings of the Lord, it make it rich and it has no sorrow. Well, your life will become a dreamland from now. The moment you start engaging this, you find your life opening up. It doesn't take time. It takes truth to experience a change. It doesn't take time. It takes truth. It doesn't take a century to experience a change. It takes engagement of the truth. Engagement with the truth. Then you experience a change beyond your wildest imagination. That's the way it works. Let me say this, it will also help you. By his grace, I have not dropped in my passion for souls till now. I still go to the streets. Even now. Last month we had 1,196 souls saved by Tim and I. Since February this year, we have seen 8,626 souls saved in my personal outreach. To folks on the street, folks in the motor mechanic shop, folks in the tipper garage, just loving everyone for whom Jesus died. And you know what comes out of it? Everyone that would truly love God and the expansion of his kingdom, you are on your way to imagine a giant. Yeah. This is what the Lord said. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Turning many to righteousness makes stars. Turning many to righteousness makes stars. Let's not keep the church and make it look like a club. The church is not a club. It's the family of God. And God intends all men to be saved, to come and become members of his family. So when we are in that, we are just touching the heart of God, and he's making something unusual out of us. Remember, in the multitude of people is the king's honor. Proverbs 14:28. Praise God. And he that honors me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. So when you are involved in moving many into the kingdom, you are honoring Jesus. And he that honors me, I will honor. I'd like you to be awake to this. We are in our greatest season of opportunity. Can I tell you this? Many giants will start rising in the body of Christ. I mean, unbelievable people will start somersaulting to the topmost top. As they engage, I'm going to engage in bringing many into the kingdom of God. Why are we doing that? He does not want any man to perish. 2 Peter 3:9, but I rush you come to repentance. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. Hell is not made for man. It's made for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse 41. So all of that put together should put us on the run. We are on a rescue mission in honor of Jesus. And when we honor him, he honors us back in return. And when God honors you, no devil can humiliate you. Whatever the Lord does shall be what? Forever. May you earn God's honor in this season. You are not serving a church. You are not serving a pastor. You are serving Jesus. The great rewarder. The great promoter. The great healer. The great enlarger. The great advancer. You are serving Jesus. So get excited about it. Get excited about it. I've been doing that all my life. 1976 till day. 40 years. I've been holding crusades long before I was called to ministry. To see people saved with undying passion. And God hasn't stopped changing my levels. He hasn't. I don't ask for any honor. He just bestows that on me wherever I go. I don't make demand for it. Somebody's here, your soul is changing. Yeah. You know, he said, "He that beareth fruit, I will make fit so he can keep bearing more fruit." You can't be a genuine soul winner, a kingdom promoter, and God watch you seek. No. He will bail you out of it. He will keep your feet. Amen. I've never been out of any church service in 35 years on head ground. No. Wake up in the morning, fresher than yesterday. Wake up tomorrow morning, fresher than today. Because they go from strength to strength. Everyone that appeared in Zion before God. Your strength will never come down again. Jesus called me 35 years ago. I'm stronger than the day he called me now. I am stronger than the day he called me right now. I've been in meetings every day of this week. Praise God. What am I talking about? I've brought you this message of revival to let you know you have a part in it. And your part will command returns. And the returns will make your mockers to praise your God. Everything called shame around anybody's life is over today. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Abraham had his son at 100 and he lived to be 75. So his son was 75 when he died. That son was supposed to be an orphan. But I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. So after he had the son, he allowed him and his wife to raise the son until the son became an old man. Praise God. I will restore whatever years you may have lost. God said he will restore. After Job came out of his affliction, he lived 140 years more. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Job 42, verse 10 to 14. He lived 140 years more after he came out of his ordeal. I will restore to you the years that the locust has given.
the years. When John was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, he became the greatest personality on the planet Earth. Of all born of women, there is none as great as John the Baptist. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Whatever you may have lost, this is your restoration hour. He said in Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, I will restore health to you and heal you of all thy wounds. Yes, you have become the mockery of many, but I will restore health to you. For they have said, this is Zion, that no man seeketh after, but I will restore health unto you. Everybody who thought your case is finished will now discover you are just beginning. Everyone appointed to death by any medical verdict, by any expertise verdict, I command that judgment reverted today. For I will restore health unto you. Now, I've come to you today, not just as a teacher, I've come to you as a prophet. In Psalm 74 and verse 9 to 12, it said, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, and no one knows how long this may take. Now we went on in verse 10. Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Come on now. You say you're a Christian. What's happening to you now? You're just suffering for nothing. Shall they blaspheme your name forever? Why withdraw it now thy hand? Even thy right hand. Pluck it out of thy bosom. Prophets are God's right hand, and they are agents of restoration that wipe away the shame of God's people. Whatever I proclaim concerning you today will come to pass like a dream of the night. We see not our signs. Now, prophets are sign commanders. What are they? A woman said, when they confirmed her child dead, 2001 in Abuja, we need to get hot for God to assess all that he has in store for us. We need to get hot for God. Somebody else wants to rededicate his or her life, please stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. His arms are wide open. He will take anybody back. He will take anybody back, no matter how far he or she may have gone. Please stand to your feet. Glory to God. Stand to your feet right now. Amen. Everybody standing, both in the gallery, in the various pavilions, please come down here so we can pray. Just come. Come forward here. Come forward here. Come forward here. Church, give the Lord a big hand for them. I got my mind made up.
I want to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up. I won't turn back. I'm coming to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up. I won't turn back. Oh, yes, I'm gonna see my Jesus someday.
now. Praise God. After my mother met Jesus, she used to have, I'm a victim of rheumatism for 38 years. After she met Jesus without any special prayer, because all things must pass away, all things must come new, she got free till the day of her death. She lived 25 years later. She never saw any trace of rheumatism again. God's word is ever true. You know why I said we should have, I made that call for the dedication of our life? Except you have another Bible. The Bible that Jesus delivered to us, no sinner has a place in heaven. Amen. Forget about any doctrine anybody's teaching. Be not deceived. No unrighteous man will enter the kingdom of God. We need to come alive to that reality and be free from every deception on the street. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he listed them. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. No matter. Sin is sin, no matter who is sinning it. We need to come free and be heaven ready. Can I hear your amen?
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, everyone that is out here in front today, you will make it to the end.
Yeah.
We will jam ourselves someday on the streets of gold.
Yeah.
And with joy and excitement, we'll be giving ourselves the high five of, oh, you made it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, you made it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
No one here will be lost in action.
Yeah.
You will make this journey to the end.
Yeah.
In fact, from here, it shall be heaven on earth for you.
Amen.
Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The reality of that will become your lifestyle.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please bow your heads, lift up your right hand to heaven. And I'll lead you in this simple prayer of faith. And if you pray that in faith, a change comes your way today that will be speaking for life. Amen. Say with me, Lord Jesus. I thank you for coming to this world to die for me. I am asking you today to forgive me all my sins, to wash me with your blood, to make me a child of God. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm restored. I'm now a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God from this day forward, even forever. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Keep those hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over these precious souls. Your grace has brought them into your kingdom today. Let the same grace preserve them. I cover every one of you with the precious blood of Jesus. Remain covered until the day of his appearing.
Amen.
And I pray that the testimony of today will stand the test of time.
Amen.
Throughout your days on earth, you'll be testifying of this day.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Congratulations. 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 Amen. Okay, we have two directions for you. We need to pick your details so we can be part of your joy. Amen. And I believe that as we pray for you, things will start happening in your favor. In Jesus' name. So let's move this way and that way for a few minutes and then we'll be back. Let's move in quickly. Come on, church, give the Lord a big hand of praise. for this wonderful harvest. Glory to God. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a good thing, a great thing to serve the Lord. Let's sing that song. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Shall we all rise, please? Now, hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to sing that song prophetically. Because from today, serving God will become the delight of your soul.
Amen.
Praise God. Serving God will become the delight of your soul.
Amen.
Something funny happened while I was in school. The teacher said, look, David, if you want to be a student, be a student. If you want to be a preacher, be a preacher. I said, wait a minute. I'm a full-time Christian and a part-time student. I was a full-time Christian. Say with me, full-time Christian. I'm a full-time Christian, and I told him his nose went red. He's never had such a shocker before. I'm a full-time Christian and a part-time student. And the same full-time and part-time student is creating a new model of education in Nigeria today. Glory to God. There is nothing you live for God that reduces. Everything you live for God increases. Everything you live for God increases. Today, by the grace of God, we have created Covenant University and Landmark University, and they are leading universities in that nation today and competing globally and successfully too. Amen. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. How many will say amen to that? It's a great thing. It's one of the greatest jackpots of life. It puts you in command of every other thing. Like to sing that song with joy. You don't go back to your church sitting down doing nothing anymore. You are actively engaging with this present move and adding value to the kingdom, bringing souls to the kingdom, and standing on the altar of prayer and praying for souls to be saved, praying for the revival fire to keep burning in your church. And before you know what is happening, you heard that testimony. We have 28,000 people added to the church one Sunday, 33,000 one Sunday. When we have 3,000 people saved, thank God for the day, but that's not where we are. We have left that stage. Glory to God. Everything in your life is changing color.
Amen.
And you are changing level in our front.
Amen.
One is a great thing to serve the Lord. Let's say.